Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. Of course, with me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a new one of them tomorrow morning while you're over there. Just putzing around. But, of course, while you are over there checking it out, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I was a tad behind schedule, so I'm still in the process of building my FanDuel lineup as we go here. I just need to find some really decent outfielders for a relatively good price, because I decided to go with Max Scherzer, which means I didn't have a ton of money to spread out through the rest of my lineup. But it worked pretty well with Chris Sale last night, so I think I figured I would give it a shot with Scherzer again and see how things go for me. See what else we can come up with here. All right, I need one more guy, Dan, and he cannot cost me more than $2,800. So let's see who is down here and what works out. All right. Whew. All right, yeah, I think I'm going to use the Mr. Fantasy theory and go with a leadoff guy and see if that helps me out, even though there are a couple other guys I like here. But all right, we'll give this a shot. All right, let me get this entered so I don't lose my place, and then we will check it out. All right, Dan, so I did decide to go with Max Scherzer. Very, very high price tag on Max Scherzer, $12,400. So, you know, you got to start scraping right from the bat with it here. So I saw Miguel Montero in the Blue Jays lineup tonight. He's hitting seventh. He cost me $2,100. I figured, what the hell? It's Miguel Montero. Maybe I'll get lucky. He'll hit a home run. First base, I'm going with Brandon Belt for $3,300. He's hitting fifth for the Giants tonight. Second base at $2,600. I'm going with Brandon Drury. That's just an odd coincidence. I didn't have that plan there. He's hitting sixth for the Diamondbacks tonight. Third base, you know, I'm going to take a chance on Josh Donaldson. I know he's been bad, and it shows in his price tag, which is down to $3,100. But, you know, sooner or later, you think the guy's going to hit like Josh Donaldson. He's batting second for the Blue Jays tonight. So I'm going to take that chance and see how it goes. Shortstop, I'm going with Jorge Polanco of the Twins. He cost me $2,700. And he's hitting eighth in their lineup tonight. My outfield, I have Cameron Maben of the Angels for $3,100. He's leading off for the Angels. David Peralta of the Diamondbacks for $2,900. He's hitting second. And then I filled my lineup out with Seth Smith of the Orioles, who's leading off for them tonight. So I'm hoping the extra at-bats plug in and it works out for me. So we recap it quickly. I'm going big money. I'm going with Max Scherzer on the mound. Miguel Montero's my catcher. Brandon Belt at first. Brandon Drury at second. Josh Donaldson at third. Jorge Polanco at short. And the outfield is Cameron Maben, David Peralta, and Seth Smith. As always, you know, this is for the 605 Main League. So you have just a little more than, I think it's 30, yeah, a little more than 30 minutes to get your lineup in. So get that rolling. I actually had a pretty solid night, Dan. I scored just under 164 points last night, so I did get my money back. You know, at least that's always a plus when you at least get the money back. As far as my free roll, my WNBA free roll did not go very well. How did yours go?
Oh, it went horrible.
So, yeah, for whatever reason, I guess obviously it's just me, I'm sure. I can't do anything with these WNBA free rolls. I mean, I'm trying and trying, and there's just nothing there for me, I guess. I just can't land them. But they got another one tonight, so I'll fill out a lineup and give it a go and see how things work out for me. You know, you can't win if you don't play, right? Wasn't that the lottery slogan or something? So I will throw them out there. You know, I know there are some, you know, back to baseball, because obviously that's kind of the main thing we're kind of doing FanDuel for. The other stuff was just kind of fun. There are some really interesting pitching matchups tonight, just kind of dependent on how you feel about the guys. Obviously, you know, Scherzer is the big guy. There's a very slight chance of rain in Atlanta, according to the FanDuel website. So, you know, that should be okay. Jacob DeGrom is pitching for the Mets tonight. He's $11,000. He's going against the Cardinals. Zach Greinke's got a matchup against the Reds tonight. You know, the Reds, they do have a really good offense, but they strike out quite a bit. He's at 9,700. I don't know why Carlos Carrasco's 9,500 bucks. I stayed away from that. But Carlos Martinez is pitching against DeGrom. He's 9,400 for the Cardinals. You know how that Mets offense is. It can go cold in a hurry. So, you know, he could be another guy. You know, you're just kind of looking down going, oh, hey, okay, I could go here. You know, and I know Dan likes Jake Odorizzi against the Red Sox tonight, because Dan always likes Jake Odorizzi, no matter who he's pitching against. So there you go. I probably would advise you, Dan, to stay away from Derek Holland in Colorado tonight. That's probably a bad start. So, you know, now did you get a lineup in, or how did you do today or tonight or to whatever? Dan fall off already? We just got started. No. Dan, what'd you do? Did you mute yourself, or what happened? All right. Why are we having one of these days? Let's see if we try this with Dan. We'll put Dan on hold for a second, and then we will bring him back in. This, I don't know why this has been happening lately. Did that help, Dan? Maybe it's me. I never thought of that. So, all right. Well, while Dan figures out the technical issue on his side there, we will move along. I think we only have one actual baseball game going on live right now. The Cubs are – oh, no, actually, it's over. So there you go. The Cubs got a big 6-1 win over the Pirates. Everybody was very excited because the offense was really rolling. If you did a – if they had one, I didn't even look to see if they had one, but if they had a all-day FanDuel league, hopefully you had Chris Bryant in it, because he was – now my internet's going to slow down. It's just one of those – it sure is not Wednesday. Bryant was 4-for-5 with 3 runs scored, 4 RBIs, and he had a triple and 2 home runs. So if they did have something going there, and you happen to get Brian in your lineup, you racked up quite a bit of points there. So, you know, hopefully that worked out for you. The only other Cub with multiple hits was Ben Zobrist, who had 2. He did score a run. Anthony Rizzo did homer. He had a hit, a run scored, and then 2 RBIs. The other Cubs' hits belonged to Ian Happ and Kyle Schwarber. So... oh, wait, nope, there you go. Wilson Contreras got a pinch hit. So there we did work that out, and he did score a run. So he was 1-for-1. See how that kind of worked out? You know, on the Pirates side, not a ton going on here, except for Andrew McCutchen did get 3 hits. He was 3-for-4 with a run scored. He also drew a walk, which adds up some FanDuel points. And one of his hits was a kind of how that worked in. Josh Bell had a hit, and he had the Pirates' RBI. Gregory Polanco and Francisco Cervelli each had a hit apiece for the Pirates. They did walk six times, so if you did use some of their guys, you possibly picked up a run, some scoring here or there with them. So hopefully that kind of helped you out. Pitching wise, I doubt anybody started Eddie Butler or Trevor Williams. I actually start Trevor Williams in my Yahoo league because I have some injuries. He went 3 2/3, 6 hits, 3 runs. They were all earned. Walked 2, struck out 3. Butler went 4 innings. They ran him out there for the 5th, and then he hit a guy, and that was it. Joe Maddon was done with him. So 4 innings, 4 hits. He didn't give up any runs, 3 walks, though, and did strike out a guy. So, again, hopefully you stayed away from that. Williams took the loss, and Carl Edwards Jr. picked up the win for the Cubs. He was the first guy out of the bullpen to pitch that 5th inning. So if you do have, like, Pedro Strop picked up a hold, so did Koji Urahara, and Wade Davis gave you an inning with a walk and a strikeout if you're in a weekly league or a yearly league where you're looking for guys. So there you go. Hopefully you did well there. So are you back live with us there, Dan?
No, I'm on a tape delay.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder. So I was asking you before you disappeared, did you get a FanDuel lineup in?
Yeah, the WNBA. I told you I've only been doing these lately. I don't have any money.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, well, I thought maybe you put $1 in or something so you could play play a game. Or are you waiting for them to round up and hope that hope you get that big dollar?
Yeah, that too. But kind of sticking on the baseball topic. I believe it was yesterday, Ichiro passed up Rod Carew to take the 23rd position in all-time hits. And, I mean, it's almost a given, since he's one behind Ricky Henderson, that he'll, take over that spot. So he has 3,054. Right above Ricky is Craig Biggio at 3,060. So, I mean, we're pretty much guaranteed that he's going to bump it up those next two spots this season, barring, a really bad hamstring issue today that puts him out for the rest of the year. But then, after that, he has to climb all the way up to Dave Winfield for 3,110, and then A-Rod at 3,115. Do you think he gets 60 more hits this season, or?
I don't know if he'll get 60 more, this season, but, he's saying he wants to play next year, so.
I mean,
he has an opportunity. Yeah, but the tough part is, at his age, you just never know if they, somebody decides they don't want to sign him or, how that kind of works on. I mean, I think he's shown the skill set to continue to play. Especially as just kind of that fourth outfielder. I don't think a team would have a problem using him as that. It's difficult right now with Miami. They have one of the best outfields in baseball where, Marcell Ozuna's playing left field, Christian Yelich is in center, and then, of course, Giancarlo Stanton in right. So there's not a ton of at-bats there for him. So, he's going to need to maybe go somewhere else to pick up the opportunity to get more at-bats or more playing time if that's what he's, if that's what he's looking for. So.
Yeah. Well, in 72 games that he's appeared in, he's had 108 at-bats with only 24 hits.
So, yeah, he's not
giving him a 222.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you just kind of wonder with, you know, the playing time he's been getting, you know, how, you know, will he, you know, get enough? Like, I don't, I honestly don't know if he'll get 60 hits the rest of this year.
No.
So, you know, you wonder, I mean, he need, what's he need? He needs 40, he needs 46 to get to 3,100. Maybe he gets that, you know, but, you know, because for a while there, you were wondering, you know, is he going to get the 3,500? You know, is he going to be one of those guys who could move up to that point? You know, I think Jeter is what, six? Yeah, here it is. I found the list. Jeter's six right now at 3,465. You know, you were wondering at one point in time if he was going to end up around there, but yeah, I don't know. It, you know, if he's going to get the playing time to make that happen. I mean, I would love to see it. I've always obviously been a fan, but I, you know, I think, you know, possibly he gets to, you know, maybe 3,200, maybe 3,250 if he plays next year. So.
I mean, with Miami at the rate he's going, I don't think that's possible unless he gets a hit every at bat.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think there's a team that would be willing to take him on next year?
You know, I would think, you know, again in that fourth outfielder format, I think there's a lot of places he could fit in because he is still a quality defender. So, you know, there's, I mean, you know, there's plenty of room for him. I mean, you know, to be honest, wouldn't you have rather had him over John Jay to start the year in Chicago as the fourth outfielder?
Well, I mean, it would have made a hell of a lot more sense, and we wouldn't be pretending that he was there to fill in, or not fill in, but take over the leadoff spot of Dexter Fowler.
So yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, you can just kind of, you know, you look down at, you know, just about any contender would take him. You know, with all the injuries the Yankees have had in the outfield, I'm sure they would have had loved to have a guy like him on the bench. You know, you just kind of, you know, you kind of go through those things. I mean, even like in Arizona, you know, I know Pollock just came back from the DL, but Ichiro would have been a fantastic fill-in while Pollock was out. You know, you don't lose a ton there. He's like, again, he's still a quality defender. You know, and I'm sure with regular playing time he would hit. You know, it's just a matter of finding, you know, that right spot or that right mix. But I think somebody brings him in next year and, you know, gives him a shot to be a backup. I mean, you know, why not? I mean, what do you got to lose at this point with him?
Yeah, I don't think you have much to lose. And, you know, going on John Jay, I mean, he has put up quality numbers. He's batting 305, but a 384 on base average. But I mean, at the same token, he's scored 28 times and given us 18 RBIs. He'll take off two of them for his two
Yeah,
home runs. And, you know, it's not the kind of numbers you would expect for a guy who should be filling, not filling in, but taking over at the leadoff spot. And he has appeared in 74 games, but unfortunately, Baseball Reference doesn't tell us how many games he actually started.
you know, like I have zero problems with John Jay. He's a quality fourth outfielder. He really is. The problems being is he's been a starter way too much. You know, I mean, the fact that he ended up being the leadoff hitter on the defending World Series champion should explain exactly how their season is going. They finally shuffled that out when they got a couple guys back from injury. And again, I mean, when he was brought in here, I thought his job was going to be to, you know, work with Alberto Almora in center field and be Kyle Schwarber's defensive replacement in left late in games. None of that has happened. You know, I think he's played more than Almora, which is just frightening, but, you know, it helped us learn that the Cubs really think Almora has zero value as a frontline player. And, you know, he, you know, we leave Schwarber out there all the time because I guess they're afraid to take his bat out of the lineup. So, even though it's been just fantastic. So, but I learned something today in the Cubs victory, Dan. You know, we started this a few years ago when we realized that Starlin Castro, everything was Starlin Castro's fault. Then last year, it seemed to be that everything was Jorge Soler's fault. Well, now with Miguel Montero gone, what I noticed today is, even though I believe I would have to double check, I don't think he has managed to get a hit in his big league career yet. Your buddy JD in the broadcast booth really pushing Victor Caratini over Wilson Contreras because he's not as, I don't know, jumpy, however they want to put it when they try to describe Wilson Contreras. You know, maybe he's a better pitch framer than Contreras is. And, you know, I know Contreras got himself in the doghouse yesterday because I did he not run something out? Or something to that effect. And, yeah, looking at it here, Caratini is 0-for-9 going into today, and I don't think he got a hit. But, yeah, so it looks like the Cubs have found a new scapegoat. So how long before Wilson Contreras has run out of town? You know, it took about 2 years with Starlin Castro. You know, Soler, it took about, what, 6, because he was Theo's boy. How long before we start pointing fingers at Wilson Contreras and run him out of town, Dan? You got a couple of years because he's got some talent, or you think it's sooner than that?
I mean, you mean where he's gone from town, or where we started?
Yeah, before they trade him like they did with Castro and Soler.
This off season.
So.
You know, and it's funny because from Chicago media, he's taking the blame. Well, they're putting the blame on him for the performances of Arrieta and Lester.
Yes.
I believe, you know, so it's now that David Ross isn't catching for them, he allegedly doesn't know how to control Major League pitching. And these guys have to go out there and actually think instead of just throwing the ball, which is what was said to be the difference in Kyle Hendricks' game this year compared to last year. But last year, David Ross was there to control the game, and now he has to think and not just throw the ball, despite the fact being...
Even though, oddly, there's an entire game plan, laid out by the team and the pitching coach, it's still Wilson Contreras' fault?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, you know, he's coming out from behind the plate too many times.
Yeah, so yeah, you know, I just noticed that because, like, JD was really overly positive about Caratini today. You know, the more I saw his at bats and then watched him catch, I really caught that name quite a bit. And again, you know, we're talking about a guy who hasn't managed to get himself a major league hit yet. You know, he is supposed to be a very good defensive catcher with a very good arm, but so is Contreras, who can actually produce offensively. So it will be interesting to see how they juggle it and how long it takes them to bury Contreras, you know, before they ship him off to wherever, you know, this guy ends up. You know, and the odd part is obviously they shipped Castro off, and he ended up being a pretty damn good player for the Yankees. Yeah, they got nothing for him. At least they got Wade Davis for Jorge Soler, so at least they got something in return there. And Soler has had a bit of an injury-plagued season, not even a bit of. He missed a chunk of time, and, you know, even when he came back, I'm not quite sure if he was ready, so he ended up taking a minor league rehab stint. I think he's been a little better as of late since returning. I know I saw his home run last week that literally went 800 feet. So, maybe he's healthy now, and with some playing time, he'll work things out. But, you know, he's still a young guy. There's plenty of time for him to, you know, to get righted, even if he has a bit of a down year. But I'm just baffled, Dan. It seems like the Cubs exclusively, with the exception of the Dodgers there for a while with Yasiel Puig, always have to have a scapegoat, even when they're winning. And I don't get that with this team. Is it just, you know, their mentality that they got to have a guy to pick on, or how does that work?
It has me baffled, but, you know, I don't know if it's directed from the Cubs, or it starts with the media, and then they just kind of pick up on it. Because we both know that the radio guys are, you know, technically the play-by-play, they're, I don't want to say real broadcasters, but the love of the game guys, where the two guys on TV are there to push an agenda.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's easily clear that, you know, they have, you know, they're basically entailed with the team, and whatever the team tells them to do, they're going to do. You know, it doesn't matter. I think Pat Hughes is the guy. He has a little too much experience to be treated like that. So I think he doesn't have to deal with this issue. But, yeah, it was just it was so odd watching the game because, yeah, the compliments just kept flowing, you know, out of good old Jim Deshays about, you know, look how steady he is back there. And, you know, he can even throw to second base from his knees, and he likes to do that and still throw runners out. And it's like, what the hell are you talking about? Shut up. So.
Well, and I mean, Jim Deshays doesn't fully understand the rules of baseball. So you're telling me that he's got video that he's been watching on Caratini? I mean, I can see why they brought him up. I can see why they brought him up. I mean, down in Iowa this year in 69 games, he was at 341. The previous year down in AA, he was 291. I mean, he's been progressively steady, but, you know, Kyle Schwarber hit a handful of home runs over with like 3 or 4 days, and they decided to bring him right back up, and look what he's done.
Hey, he did get a hit today, though. So, you know.
It wasn't a home run, though. It doesn't count.
But, all right, let's get away from Cub talk. Now, Dan, I know you're always concerned here with this guy. I'm sure you saw today that Dexter Fowler was activated by the Cardinals off the disabled list. He missed 12 games with that right heel spur. But he's going to be batting third, playing, you know, for center field. They sent Jose Martinez down to make – yeah, that was kind of odd, wasn't it, that he's not leading off. But I think Matt Carpenter's leading off. So Fowler hitting a little better than – you know, he really struggled at the beginning of the year. He's at 245 right now. Interestingly, he's already at 13 home runs. So he's easily on pace for a career high, which just goes kind of back to the juice ball theory, because Fowler's not really a big-time home run hitter. He's never reached 20. The best he's ever done is 17. And, you know, right now, if he plays a full half a season, he's looking at a 30-homer year, which would be just a huge joke. You know, we know, Dan, the Cubs are a horrible team this year because they let Fowler go. Is he the spark that the Cardinals need to get going now that he's returned? He'll be able to carry them back into contention because they're like five and a half out going into tonight's game against the Mets.
Well, he's a clubhouse guy, isn't he? Isn't that why everyone brings him in?
I don't know. That was that was sarcastic when I said the Cubs stink because they let Dexter Fowler go. I was just going to let you run with that one. So.
Yeah, but you're right. His career high in 2015 was 17 home runs. So you're not the first person I heard about the juice theory in the ball.
Well, they did actually. They actually proved that. They had some guys test the ball this year from last year, and it actually is. They use terms like springier, and there's some rubbery to it. There's some bounce to it. So it's actually been proven that the ball this year is definitely gassed up from last year. I'm assuming baseball wanted more home runs or something. Who knows? So, that they got their wish. I mean, I'm looking at, there's so many guys with double-digit home runs already that just shouldn't be there. It's not even funny.
Yeah, but back to your question, I think, having their full roster together helps out. I don't know if it's a boost to get them, to start chasing the Brewers, which, it was killing me, and I actually had to turn it off after we got off the air yesterday. I had to switch the station because, the local guys, I'm so confused some days because some days they're all over the Cubs. And then other days they just completely kiss their ass. They weren't buying, and this is the score, and it's one of the guys I just can't stand because if you say anything he doesn't like, you're immediately insulted. He grew up under the old guy, the old retired man way of broadcasting to the fans, and I don't like you. I just completely disrespect you, make you sound like a fool. But someone brought up, and he's not buying the Brewers, saying that, anything can happen and the Cubs can win the division and just, win the division with, 80 some games just because, just enough to pass out the Brewers and then go on to win the World Series because quirky, crazy things always can happen in baseball, which I mean, I get that at the same time, but these are all major league teams. And while I'm not a Brewers fan, Cubs fan, I mean, you can't just discount what they're doing. And you can't just eliminate them just because their history hasn't shown that. I mean, the Cubs were a year ahead and they weren't supposed to go to the playoffs and they did, yet they did, and they won 100 games, next to the Cardinals winning 100 plus games. So, I mean, I think everyone gets a little too jumping, a little too excited, and I'm not willing to discount the Brewers or even the Diamondbacks or the Rockies until I start to see them falter because every team has a great run and a bad run. And it all kind of balances itself out. And of course, it all depends on what happens when you get to the playoffs. Although, from all things showing from the Cubs, if they can make the playoffs, I don't see them, really being able to take on the Nationals. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, yeah, a lot of crazy things happen in baseball. And while you want to be optimistic about your team, I mean, at the same token, the crazy thing that can happen is they don't make it and they don't beat the Brewers, and the Brewers actually win the division.
Yeah, well, I like the fact that the Brewers came out today and just finally put an end to all the BS about, who are they or what they were going to be when they said that they would be buyers at the trade deadline if needed to be. They actually do have a little bit of stockpile of young players. They could move one to get a starting pitcher they probably need, especially with Chase Anderson out. They could probably use a guy there. Their bullpen's been pretty solid, and Corey Niemel seems to be a bona fide closer. So, they seem to be okay there. And obviously, they have the offense, especially if Eric Thames starts to hit again. He was down for a while, then he seemed to kind of break out of it. So, I like the fact that they just, finally got the media to shut up and said, "Hey, look, if we need to buy, we'll buy." That's a big plus. But yeah, I mean, as tight as the division is, I mean, if the Pirates go out and win these next two games against the Cubs, they're right there in it. I think the only team you can't talk about are the Reds. I really think they're going to be a non-factor. And that's really by choice there with them. They're looking to rebuild. They're trying to get all that set up. So, it's how you do baseball now. That's just the way that the game is played. So, but yeah, and like you said, I mean, it's a strange game. I mean, anything can happen. I mean, if it was an easy game to figure out, the best team would win every game. But obviously, you know, we know that doesn't happen. So, you know, who knows how it could play out at the end? I mean, you know, I think I've been sitting here waiting for the Cubs to go on that, you know, 10-game winning streak, or maybe win 12 out of 15 and just kind of grab the division and take it and then run away with it from there. And they haven't done it, you know, obviously, because they're a 500 team. So, you know, and the more the Brewers hang around, the more they're going to believe they can win it. And, you know, you get to the point, like, I mean, I don't think anybody had Arizona and Colorado contending. But right now, they're the, you know, I think they would be the two wild card teams. So, you know, you just never know. You know, and I know we talked about it a little bit yesterday. You couldn't convince me that San Francisco was going to be this bad.
Now, you know, I don't know if baseball is actually looking into this, and I forgot who said this. It was a great theory, and I could really adjust to it, and I think it would help the game out a lot more. Personally, I'll get into that in a second. I think it's really premature to really talk about, you know, the playoffs when it comes to baseball, because, I mean, this game is nothing like the NBA or the NFL, for that matter. Halfway through the season, you pretty much know exactly where things are going to go. You know, the NBA, with the exception of maybe like four teams, and that includes the East and the West, that's the only thing that's going to change, but they're not going to go into the finals. But when it comes to baseball, I think it becomes way too premature in July to be talking about the playoffs. And I think what would really help that, I forgot who said this, but maybe you've heard this a couple months ago, was, I mean, do you think it's high time that maybe Major League Baseball looks into pushing the trade deadline back a whole month, or maybe even, you know, two and a half weeks because of the addition of the extra wild card?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, to be fair, even though there is a trade deadline, it's not really the trade deadline. I mean, trades still happen, but yeah, it wouldn't be, I don't think they should move the waiver deadline back. Like, if they move the trade deadline back, that's fine, but then don't move the waiver deadline to adjust it, because that'll just screw things up. You know, and sadly, baseball is really good at, you know, really good at that. You know, because then you're trading into, you know, what, you know, teams would be trading into late September and, you know, probably even October. I just don't think that would be good for it. But, yeah, I would have no problem if they pushed the regular trade deadline back. That wouldn't bother me at all.
Yeah, I mean, as opposed to July 31st and, you know, everyone acts like the deadline is next week when we have a whole month, and everyone's just kind of, I don't know if this is the country media as a whole, but it seems like everyone here is just salivating, waiting for, you know, Theo and company to just bust out and do something. And I mean, if you added for this, you know, for, you know, the waiver, if you added even just 2 weeks, I don't know, I think you wouldn't get so much jumpiness. And, you know, it was the fans and even the media, which I think the media is worse than the fans. Or is that?
Oh, yeah, clearly.
Fact, you know,
so,
the media causes,
you know,
the fans.
Yeah, because, you know, the media, obviously, you know, they're the ones who get the bandwagon going. You know, I mean, like we talked about the Wilson Contreras stuff, you know, they're the ones who got that going. The fans never noticed that. You know, that was all, you know, this is all media driven. So, yeah, that's, you know, one of those things, you know, just kind of how it goes. But, yeah, I think it wouldn't be a bad idea to push things back. I think it would help teams out, and, you know, it would probably add a little bit of excitement.
And, you know, but I wanted to jump off baseball today because we didn't really get into it yesterday, the NBA a whole lot. The first thing I want to throw out there, and this is for anyone listening that lives in the Chicagoland area and unlike me, actually has some basketball skills and some height. If you go on to the G League, they're actually hosting a tryout. It's about $400 to sign up for it. You know, don't cancel on them because you don't get a refund. But, you know, nonetheless, you get to work with NBA coaches or NBA, you know, types. And I'm sure you get some cool swag. You know, they give you a uniform and you actually get to play in some games. It's actually two games. And at the end of it, if you're actually good enough, as long as you've graduated high school, I throw that out there, you can, you might be able to land yourself a little contract there for the G League. So, you know, at Sports Time Radio on Twitter, Facebook, scroll through our posts and you'll see it in there. I thought that was pretty cool, Big Jack. You know, I have no business even attempting that, even if I was in good health physically. Yeah, I got no business doing it. And it is closed to the public. So,
where do I go? How do I sign up?
Yeah.
Let's get me registered. I'm up.
Exactly. But the other thing, and I was dying laughing because, I mean, I was kind of thrown back, and I forgot the numbers to it. But the Knicks without Phil Jackson, I don't know who's running the ship because, you know, LeBron isn't working there. So, you know, it's not Carmelo. But the Knicks went out, and I believe it was 4 years at a whole lot of millions of dollars for a guy who was Melo's backup. Tim Hardaway got a huge contract, which is now, again, at Sports Time Radio. You look on there, being deemed the worst contract of the season for the NBA.
4 years at $71 million.
Now, is this just a product of the salary cap and not so much, you know, his downside of play?
Yeah, this is all, you know, salary cap related. You know, it's just one of those things. So, you know, you just got to deal with it in this era. You know, you have to remember, you know, Otto Porter Jr. got $100 million offer sheet from the Brooklyn Nets. He's the third best player on the Wizards, possibly even the fourth. And he got $100 million offer sheet. So yeah, I saw that when they said this was the worst contract handed out so far, but I mean, Hardaway's a solid player. You know, he spent the last couple years in Atlanta. You know, he played very well with the Knicks while he was there before that. So I don't know. Yeah, is it just the money that they're complaining about? Or so.
No, with the contract, I mean, it's a high price deal. I guess I don't really know the whole logistics on, you know, the salary cap and what the minimum they have to make is. This is a sign that they're going to try to make a deal with Houston or Cleveland. I'd rather see Houston, to be honest with you.
You know, it is possible. And just to answer your question before, Steve Mills is the Knicks general manager, and he's the guy handling all this right now. Hey, if you... You know, in the situation the Knicks are in, I mean, you know, what's the best case scenario for them? They get in the seventh or eighth playoff spot and they go in the first round, you know, go out in the first round, and that's with Carmelo. So why not move him, stock up, you know, as long as you make good draft picks, and that's the key to any rebuilding NBA team. You have to make good draft picks. You know, you can turn this around very quickly. You know, they still have Porzingis. Phil managed not to trade him before he left. So they have a quality guy to build around. I don't know much about the point guard they drafted because he played in France. But, you know, so did Tony Parker. So if he's anything like Tony Parker, obviously you have a quality guy there. You know, I mean, Hardaway could be a nice little piece, kind of reboot the franchise. I mean, I think maybe 4 years is too long, but if they wouldn't have went 4 years, Atlanta may have matched and they may not have gotten him. So, You gotta kind of take the plus with the minus there. If you want the guy, you gotta go the extra year or two so that, you know, his other team just doesn't go, oh yeah, hey, no problem, we'll match that. Which it's being reported that the Wizards will do to the Otto Porter deal. So that'll be interesting to see what it does to their salary cap structure. But, you know, that's, again, these are the things you gotta do. Otherwise, a lot of NBA movement with the signings and everything. And, you know, the Celtics, they signed Gordon Hayward to that the max deal they could sign him. I think it was 4 years and $128 million or 6 years or 18 years or however many years it works out to now. But they needed some salary cap relief after that. So they sent Avery Bradley to the Detroit Pistons for Marcus Morris and a 2019 second round pick. So the Celtics are adding some more picks and a quality big man. Morris is a solid big man. They lost Amir Johnson earlier in free agency. He signed with the 76ers. And I also saw Kelly Olynyk signed somewhere else today. Yeah, he signed with Miami. They actually have it down as yesterday. So Boston is trying to get itself under the salary cap. With Detroit picking up Bradley, they renounced their free agent rights to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. So now he becomes an unrestricted free agent. So, just looking at it, I mean, a ton of movement. So it's tough to keep up with. So, and talk about trading a future draft pick, Dan. How about this for a deal? We got the Miami Heat traded forward Josh McRoberts to Dallas. Okay, no big deal. In return, they got center A.J. Hammond and a second-round pick in the year 2023. So, 6 years down the road, the Heat have an extra second-round pick. So look forward to that. I don't think I've ever seen a deal quite that far in the distance. So,
well, yeah,
but yeah, you know, now, did you like the Hardaway signing, or were you harsh on it like all the media was?
I mean, at first when I saw it, I was like, wow, that's just a lot of money, you know, good for him. But then, I also was reading another article on a different team, you know, between Boston and Philly. And if you're not in a position to really be a team full of superstars, you still need to make that minimum salary cap, or you get a fine if you go over, you get a fine if you don't spend enough. So that's why I asked you if the salary cap really helps play into him getting such a big contract.
Yeah, it was weird because they said, with the Pistons restricting the rights to Pope there, they said he becomes the number one free agent on the board. And I was a little surprised because, honestly, I just assumed, Derrick Rose would still be that guy. So, but yeah, I guess not. You know, and then another thing I know, we talked about this guy just a little bit before, and obviously you and I don't know a ton about these guys because they played in Europe, but one of the hot point guards was Milos Teodosic is what I'm going to go with here. And there were quite a few teams interested in him. I had saw four or five names linked with him, and I think we even mentioned them here. He ended up taking a two-year deal with the Los Angeles Clippers for $12.3 million. So he'll be part of that core along with Patrick Beverley, who tried to replace Chris Paul there.
I mean, like you said, we don't know a whole lot about this guy. We haven't seen a whole lot. But I mean, at the same time, I don't know. I think they're going to really grasp for straws and do everything they can, which I mean, again, I don't want to be negative, but I guess you could look at the positive and they're doing everything they can to try to succeed. Right. But I don't think it's enough.
No. Well, you know, I mean, obviously Chris Paul is going to be difficult to replace. You know, Patrick Beverley doesn't have a great offensive game, but he is one of the better point guard defenders in the league. Todorcic, he did score. You know, he played for Moscow in the, what was that? I forgot the name of the league over there. And he was the 2010 EuroLeague MVP. He scored 16.3 points last year and did still hand out 6.5 assists. He shot just under 40% from the three-point line. So, you know, he'll add probably the offensive side where, you know, Beverly will have to be the defensive guy and the, you know, the guy. But, you know, I mean, as far as tandems go, I mean, it's a solid add to try to replace him. I mean, obviously you're not going to, you know, you're not going to find it all in one bunch there, but, you know, it's not a bad move, I don't think.
No. I mean, I just, you know, you're the Clippers. You definitely don't want to give up on your team. And as much as it's easy to do in the NBA and just tank your team and, you know, try to go 3 to 5 years, you know, like I said, 3 to 5 years and rebuild and look like the Cavs or the Clippers. Not the Clippers. They are the Clippers. Sixers, which the Cavs, I think, were only able to do what they've done is because LeBron came back. If LeBron came back, didn't go back, stayed an extra year or two in Miami, I don't think any of this glory would have been going in Cleveland. I just don't know after all this time if it's the guy, though.
Well, now, I mean, maybe from, you know, from this angle, could it possibly be, you know, could we see Blake Griffin blossom if he can stay healthy? You know, because obviously Chris Paul took his share of shots. He scored his share of points. It looks like now Blake Griffin is going to be the man. Now, they did add Danilo Gallinari, who's going to be able to spot up and hit the threes for a big guy. So they have a formidable front line in Gallinari, DeAndre Jordan, and then, of course, Blake Griffin. You know, Jordan doesn't really need his own shot. He gets his rebounds. He scores his points that way. You know, Gallinari will be the pop-up guy, the outside shooter who can, you know, cut to the hoop occasionally, get a layup. That really leaves you with Griffin as the main offensive cog. Could we see him blossom or possibly fall on his face and wash out?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, I heard an analogy by a guy on TV yesterday and I was cracking up because he said you either step up to the plate or strike out. But when you step up to the plate, you can either hit a home run or strike out. But I thought I was dying to tell you that one. But I think he's in that position, like you said. And I think he would lead more to really blossoming and his career taking off. And I can see what you're saying because, you know, you've mentioned before with other teams that, you know, be it Miami with Bosch, who did retire and gets his name retired, or however you want to go with that, which I thought was pretty cool that Miami's doing that. But even Golden State, you know, KD came in, and I think we're still trying to figure out who completely took the back seat, if it was Curry or Thompson. But maybe we'll see that after next year, because I think he's gone after next year. I don't remember the – maybe he's got 2 years in Golden State. But, you know, maybe he can really step up and take over this team and be the guy that they want him to be to build around.
Yeah, I don't know, obviously he's got to stop punching, you know, equipment manager or assistant equipment manager. So.
Yeah, and I don't care how long he's in the league. I don't think that'll ever get old.
No.
But I don't know. I think what makes it even harder, though, is no matter what we talk about this offseason, which you know, like you said, and I've heard big guys in the media say it too, that the NBA offseason is just much more exciting than the regular season. Is the fact that we know at the end of the year it's going to be Cleveland versus Golden State. I'm excited to, you know, get updates and check in on the Timberwolves because I kind of like what they're doing over there. We both know, again, at the end of the season, it's Cleveland and Golden State. So, I don't know, I guess that's what makes it hard when you're like, ooh, you know, Los Angeles, the Clippers did this. And you're like, well, that's great, but Golden State.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess that's the difficult thing about being any Western Conference team. I mean, you look and, you know, the Rockets added Chris Paul to an offense that is just incredible. But is it good enough to beat Golden State? You know, the Spurs yesterday just added veteran Rudy Gay, who's going to be a perfect fit for their system. But will it help them beat Golden State? And I think the answer to both those questions is still no. So what do you do? You know, how, you know, where's the answer? You know, the Thunder went out and got Paul George to pair with Russell Westbrook. Today they signed Raymond Felton to a one-year deal just for a little backup help at point guard. That's not going to help them beat Golden State. So in the end, like you said, yeah, we're going to be like, oh, okay, cool. You know, Boston made all these moves. Are they going to beat Cleveland in the playoffs? Yeah, probably not. So, you know, it's fun to talk about, and you go, oh, yeah, hey, cool, they did this, or they did that, or, you know, the Knicks are doing this and paying Hardaway all this money. But in the end, when it comes down to it, you know, next, the end of May, beginning of June, it's going to be you and I going, man, it sucks. We knew these two teams were going to be there all along. I'm not watching this. Kevin Durant said I didn't have to if I was bored with it. So... You know, just,
yeah, well,
kind of how it works out.
I hope that Golden State wins it again next year so we can add up the championship losses to LeBron's column. But, you know, maybe KD can get a couple rings and kind of do what LeBron did. Go back to Oklahoma and win one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, that is possible. You know, who knows what these guys think. Or you know, maybe he'll finally sign with Washington because he is from there. You know, maybe that's where he'll decide he wants to finish out his career, or he'll try to, you know, win a title there. I mean, you know, I got to tell you, Dan, if I'm a legitimate on-the-brink superstar and I'm looking to break out, I think I want to sign with an Eastern Conference team because after LeBron –
for somebody
another guy? Yeah.
Well, not only that, I mean, if he decides in 18 to go to Los Angeles to take over the Lakers.
Yeah. Yeah, imagine the Eastern Conference next year. So, oh boy. Dan and I got to go. That's what the music means. But hey, thanks for sticking around and listening to us. We appreciate it. Don't forget, Mr. Fantasy and I are here for 2 big hours on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Get your FanDuel stuff all set up. Good luck tonight if you're playing. You know the deal, though, while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Look for that new blog tomorrow. Follow the link to the Facebook page. Give that a like. The Twitter feed is at SportsTimeRadio. Get out there and follow that. Find Dan and I on Twitter as well, too. We really enjoy talking to the fans. Again, thanks for listening live, but don't forget, be fun at TuneIn.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.